Isaiah 32 is our text today. Isaiah 32, find that passage in the Bible, Old Testament. Turn to, if you go to Psalms, the largest book there, turn to your right. You'll go through the Proverbs and then over into Ecclesiastes and on to Isaiah chapter 32. In the Old Testament, Isaiah, a microcosm of your entire Bible. 66 books in your Bible, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. 39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament books. And Isaiah is divided in two parts, the first 39 chapters and then the last 27 chapters. So it's a very interesting book, Isaiah. We won't take time to dissect all that this morning. Standing together, read with me, please, verses 18, 19, and 20. Isaiah 32, and if you please join me on verse number 19. Our Bible says, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass." Let's pray. My dear Father, thank you for your book. Thank you, God, for the encouragement, the challenge that we find in these verses concerning missions. Lord, I know we've been on this subject now for a couple, three Sundays, but Lord, we probably will stop at this point, maybe tonight, as you direct this afternoon between the two. Lord, help us to listen one more time. May your Spirit have access to our hearts, please. May he be able to penetrate us with the Word of God. May you use me just as a tool out of your pouch to be useful this morning to help in the lives of these dear people and in the cause of Christ around the globe. And I'll thank you for it. Bless the song and the message to follow in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Any burden on me, oh. appreciate you, Tom. Thank you. That song has a lot of words in it that are really something to ponder. Sever any tie, save the tie that binds my heart to thee. That's a big thing to say. Maybe an easy thing to say, hard thing to live. That's a good song for us this morning. Because I'll be on that at the end of the message. Tom didn't know that. But I want to speak to you on the subject, sending seed to the world. Sending seed to the world. The PA sounds a little funny, Brother Greg. I feel like we're getting a rrr, so I don't know if you want to check that for me. I'd appreciate it this morning. Sending seed to the world. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, is what Isaiah wrote in that verse number 20 there, chapter 32. My dear Father, help us, I pray. What a song to start this service, this message with. Had no idea Brother Tom was going to bring that, but Lord, it is very powerful. And God, it is sometimes very difficult to live that. And I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to preach once again on the subject of missions and pray that you'll help me in these moments. May I be exactly what you want me to be and say exactly what you want me to say. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. It is not difficult to understand the church's responsibility to take the message of Christ to the world. That was our theme. The message of Christ, the mission of our church. That matter is mentioned over and over and over and over again throughout the Bible, not just in one place, but in all the Gospels, in the book of Acts, and other places in the Bible. We understand that. It is a matter of obedience to God's command. We have no choice, folks. We have no option. If we're going to be in God's will, we've got to get the message of Christ to the world. So that's the understanding. It's also not just a matter of obedience. I think it's a matter of logic. If you stop and think about it, the single greatest event that takes place in a person's life is the moment they are born again into God's family. Nothing is more incredible than, nothing compares to the significance of that experience. When you and I were born again into God's family, we were justified. We passed from death unto life. We received a title deed to a mansion in heaven. We were made heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We were placed under the banner of no condemnation. That's a blessing. No judgment. God became our Father. Jesus became our elder brother. The Holy Spirit became our comforter, our constant companion and guide. The Bible was open to us, and all the promises of God in this book are yea and amen through the person of Jesus Christ. This thing's going in and out, isn't it? Are you on? Am I on out there? Okay, something funny happened. Maybe we're getting it fixed. So all, you see what I'm saying when I say a significant event took place when you and I got born again. No wonder the songwriter wrote, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. I mean, the greatest thing in the world. Since salvation is the greatest single experience anyone could have, it makes sense that the message of Christ that brings salvation needs to fall upon the ears of every person at least one time. At least one time. Now, comprehending that, I don't think I'd have a problem in the world with getting everybody in this church to agree with me on that. It ought to fall on the ears of every person at least once. They ought to hear the gospel message. At least once. We would all agree on that. Man, you comprehend that fact. You come to the missions conference and you listen to the testimonies and you watch the DVDs and you see the faces of the people. And boy, it impresses on us the reality that millions still have not heard the clear message Jesus saves. Do you understand that we had a man here, Brother Radix, who was 26 years old before he heard the message of salvation? 26. I would say most of us in this room heard it from the time we were little kids in the nursery. He was 26. And in his country are 1,800,000,000 people. You have to wonder how many Radixes are in India. Their ears have never heard the saving message of Jesus Christ. That's not hard then to comprehend that it is our responsibility. Obedience tells us that. Logic tells us it's our responsibility to get the message of Christ to the world. Okay, if that's not hard to get the church to do, to comprehend it, then what is the difficult part of missions? Comprehending it is not difficult. What's difficult is causing God's people to realize that knowing all of those things is not enough. It's not good enough. It takes action. It takes doing something with the responsibility. It's easy to comprehend it. It sometimes is difficult to motivate a group of God's people to do something about it. What are we going to do about it? Again, what I said, I don't know, at the end of Brian Nibby's message last Sunday night, we better be very careful that we don't become theory Christians. In theory, we believe everything right, but in practice, we don't do anything. I don't think it's hard here to get you to agree that we need to take the gospel message to the world. The more difficult part is practicing it. Getting it done. How are we going to take the gospel to the world? What can we do about it? What action can I take? Now, there are different motivations that a pastor can use to challenge God's people to grasp that responsibility. I could preach on the motivation of duty. Some people are motivated by duty, a sense of what's right. My responsibility, Luke 17:10. The servants said, we have done that which was our duty to do. And duty can motivate some of God's people. Then you got the motivation of fear. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for all of us, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account for the things done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Sometimes it's a fearful thing to think about. Then you can use the motivation of love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 8. Paul used this motivation to the Corinthian people. He said, giving to missions will prove the sincerity of your love. We could talk about duty. We could talk about fear. We could talk about love as a motivation for God's people to get involved and take action to get the message of Christ to the world. But what about the motivation of reward? Maybe that would do. And that's what we find in this passage here in Isaiah 32 and verse number 20. You see the reward of God's blessing on folks who sow beside all waters. And can I say to you, friend, never underestimate the reward of God's blessing. God's blessing makes the difference in so many ways. I don't have time to talk about it this morning. We enjoy God's blessings on a daily basis here in the United States of America. Do you understand part of the reason there's a difference in the way this culture operates and lives and the way other cultures operate and live is simply because of God's blessing? If He took that away, there's no telling what the horror stories would be like. Isaiah 32 is a prophecy about the reign of King Hezekiah, but it is also prophetical about the reign of Jesus Christ. Verse number 20 is prophetical concerning the message of Christ. Look at the little word sow. Blessed are ye that sow. You know what sow means. It means to plant. It is used in the Bible to teach about witnessing. In the Gospels, Jesus told the story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the sower who went out to sow. What he went out to sow was the seed of God's word. And he spread that seed all around on all types of ground. The psalmist said in Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sowing is a picture of witnessing. Sowing is a picture of telling the message of Jesus Christ. Sowing, planting, sowing. We sing the song, sowing in the morning, sowing in the noontime, sowing in the evening, and the dewy breeze. And sowing the seed. That's what the Bible, that's what the word is used about. So blessed are ye that sow, look at it says here, beside all waters. Waters is a group of people. Waters in the Bible many times is a typical of multitudes of people. And Isaiah talked about sowing beside all waters, spreading the message of Christ around the world. All waters, all people. By the way, wasn't that the command that Jesus gave to the church in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? Didn't he tell them, we talked about it last week, start in Jerusalem, go to all Judea, go to Samaria, and go to the uttermost parts of the earth. What did he tell them to do? What did he tell them to do when they went to those places? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. Witness for Christ. You should be witnesses for me in all of those areas beside many waters. Now, can I tell you that church there did not obey that command? They did a good job sowing in their home area of Jerusalem, but they did not send missionaries beyond their home area. And as a result, R.G. Smith preached on this. As a result, what happened to that church? Persecution set in. And because of persecution, those people scattered from Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen very carefully. Don't get the idea. You know, we have a lot of missionaries through this church. We just had six of them here last Sunday. We had one the Sunday before that. We had seven here last Sunday. Excuse me. We had Brian Nibby. We had one the Sunday before that. We'll have one this coming Wednesday night. We have one every month through the rest of this calendar year. January of 08 is already booked. Missions Conference 08 is already booked. March is already booked. I booked a man this morning because I told him to call me this morning at 8 o'clock, and he did. And I booked a missionary going to the country of Belize, South America. We have no voice in Belize, South America. So we have missionaries constantly through the pulpit of Faith Baptist Church on purpose. But I want you to understand, believe it or not, there are fewer missionaries going today from American churches than in years past. Statistics prove it. You say, Brother Angel, how can that be? There's missionaries all the time through here, all the time calling us for meetings. Friend, we're a very, very small group of churches in the United States of America. And statistics prove there are fewer missionaries leaving the shores of America today going into the world than in many years. Fewer missionaries. It takes longer for missionaries to raise their support than it ever has. Now, here's what I'll say. We haven't encountered a lot of persecution in this country. But if you stop to look at it, it has dramatically increased in the last 30 to 40 years. Now, listen, Tim Hardaway can say, I hate gays. And he can catch all kind of grief. But let me ask you a question. What do you think would have happened on the radio and TV and the news media if somebody had said, I hate Christians? You got a man over here in the Middle East who basically has said he wants to annihilate the nation of Israel. And you got American media, Diane Sawyer, going over there and sitting across from the table from a devil-inspired Muslim whose whole purpose in life is to annihilate the Jews and all Judeo-Christian civilization. I read an article in my office this week about in Florida this week. They are having a convention down there, a Reformed Muslim convention. They have Muslims who used to be, who have come away from it and are critical of the terrorist, the very fundamental Islamic movement, and they're talking about the day. And these Muslims are saying, you Western politicians don't understand what you're messing with. Look, I was at an amusement park the last time I was at an amusement park. I can't remember when it was. I don't care for amusement parks anymore. They're vile places. I was at an amusement park, and I was standing in line with some of the kids to go on a ride. And here was a boy sporting a T-shirt that had the picture of a pogo stick, a person on a pogo stick, and it said, pogo on a Christian. And it had the word Christian underneath the pogo stick, and he was mashing down the word pogo. Now, what if you had a T-shirt that said, pogo on a homosexual? Pogo on a sodomite. You reckon you'd have been in trouble? I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is an attitude shift in this country toward Bible-believing Christians. An attitude shift. And it hasn't developed yet into full-fledged persecution, but I'm going to tell you something. It concerns me. There are trends. There are things that concern me about the future for my grandchildren and your grandchildren if something doesn't happen. And I have to ask myself, is some of this persecution that's beginning to boil and roil in the United States of America, can some of it be directly related to the fact that churches are not sending missionaries at the same rate we used to? Trying to motivate God's people to give up a little bit of what has become our God. so that guys can take the message of Christ to how many billions of people who may be like that 26-year-old man was, never have heard the message of Christ yet. And here's the blessed thing about it. There's a reward for doing it. Do you see the first word of verse number 20? Blessed. Blessed are ye. That word blessed means how happy. When you read the Bible, take a little pen and take note of how many specific statements that speak of blessing. There are dozens of them throughout the Bible. Here is just one. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Blessed are ye. How happy, how blessed, how God blessed are the people who give, so that missionaries can take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I just got two things to say this morning. Number one, blessed is the Christian who sows beside all waters. Blessed is the Christian who sows beside all. Look, this not only involves witnessing at home. Boy, it was a blessing this week. We have folks that are witnessing around here. They're just getting started into it. And Matt Prather gave a testimony upstairs in the Sunday school class. And that was a blessing. He was working in a house this week and mentioned to the wife and the family that there was a bus and children's services at Faith Baptist Church and children's ministry. And she got all excited about it. Brother Caleb had the opportunity to go by and win that lady to Christ just, I think, yesterday or the day before. And then one of the teenage bus boys on Jeff Reardon's bus talked to a friend at his public school this week and led him to Jesus Christ. That's exciting to me. You know what that's called? That's called sowing beside all waters. It's not only witnessing in your home area, it's opening your wallet to give so that missionaries can witness in distant places. Folks, you want the reward of sowing beside all waters. The reward is the blessing of God. Now look, do you know what happened a few minutes ago when that plate was passed around the auditorium? All over this auditorium a few minutes ago, many of you sowed beside all waters. You had written one check for your offering, and then you took the offering envelope and you broke it down. General fund, missions, and building fund, possibly. And that little box marked missions fund there, and you put 12 bucks in there, or 25 bucks in there, or 5 bucks in there, or 200 bucks in there. You put a little figure in that box marked missions, and you dropped it in the plate. Do you know what you just did? You just sowed beside all waters. Because that money is going to go to help meet the needs of missionaries in Asian countries and the Canada up here amongst Canadian people, missionaries to the Hispanic world, missionaries to African people, missionaries on distant islands. What we did was just a few moments ago was not a burden. It was a blessing. If you gave to missions, you sowed beside all waters. If you sowed beside all waters, realize the promise of God. What is it? Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Oh, folks, man, look, every year I say this. We come to missions conference. This is not an attempt to get more money for FBC. This money does not stay in our account. This money is passed on to missionaries. Now, we keep a surplus. We keep a certain amount in there just in case the bottom drops out. But this is not an attempt to con you out of money. This is God's promise. This is not twisting the scriptures in order to help you reach, help me reach a desired end. This is preaching to you, preaching to me about God's promise of blessing. God said, "Blessed are ye who sow beside all waters." $12 a week supports one missionary family, $50 a month. 12 times 52 is $624 over the course of 52 weeks. 600 of that goes to that missionary. $6 a week supports half a family. $25 a week supports two missionary families. And on and on and on. And look, I know we just came through the building project. I understand that. But I am using the opportunity to encourage you this morning. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. About 14 years ago, we started supporting a missionary family by the name of Dave and Rose Maskey. When they came through, I forget how many children they had. They have, I think, 4 children now. They went to Nigeria. They just celebrated last year the 12th anniversary of Port Harcourt Independent Baptist Church in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. They've got there, they began passing out gospel literature, and they began winning souls. They began baptizing them and organizing them into a church. Dave has a very strong church in the country of Nigeria, the city of Port Harcourt. Back in, 2001, there was a Nigerian man by the name of Victor Anderson who was in the army. He was a soldier in the Nigerian army. And the Spirit of God was working on his heart. And he began to wonder about eternity and about heaven and about where he would go when he left this world. And boy, one day he was on his way to report to duty and he saw a man selling Bibles. Brother Maskey said, it's not hard to spot people who are selling Bibles. They carry 20 of them stacked on top of their head. Amen. And you've seen those pictures. And they walked down the street. Victor Anderson bought one of those Bibles. He took it to battle with him. Some of the battles that the Nigerian army fought in. He had that Bible. He would fight during the day and go back to the barracks at night or wherever they would go, a little camp. He would get the Bible out and he would read it. And he would wonder to himself if there was anybody that could show him how he could know for sure he was on his way to heaven. He was convicted, and the more he read the Bible, the more convicted he got. Well, finally, he got out of the army. And when he got out of the army, he started visiting churches. He was in the Port Harcourt area. He just started going to churches. And he told Brother Maskey one. He said, you know, I went to, I don't know, four or five different churches. Not in any of those churches did anybody ever say anything about how I could go to heaven. I heard no clear presentation of the gospel. One day, one of the members of Port Harcourt Independent Baptist Church was out passing out tracts, reached in their pocket, and handed Victor Anderson a gospel tract. Victor Anderson took it home, didn't read it, put it on the table in his living room, little place, apartment where he was living, and went on about his work and so forth. One night he was caught at home with nothing to do. Still that yearning in his heart. He saw that gospel tract. He picked it up. He read through the gospel tract. He looked at the address on the back, Port Harcourt Independent Baptist Church, and he said, you know what, this Sunday I'm going to go to this church. Maybe somebody there could tell me what I need to know in order to go to heaven someday. It just so happened that Sunday morning, Brother Maskey was preaching on eternal life. Victor Anderson sat in the service. When Brother Maskey gave the invitation, Victor Anderson walked down the aisle, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and got baptized and became a faithful, faithful member. That was in August of 2001. He became a soul winner. He later on became a bus captain. He later on preached in the church. At this moment, Victor Anderson is enrolled in their Bible Institute, ready to graduate, preparing for the ministry. A Nigerian man going back to his people to reach them with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what that's called? Those of you that gave to missions for all these years, then picking up, we picked up the Maskey family 12, 13, 14 years ago. That's called sowing beside all waters. And stories like that could be told over and over and over again. 165 different missionaries out there on the wall. 165 of them. And those of you folks that have learned to give to missions, do you understand? When that plate was passed a little while ago, you sowed beside all waters. You had a part in Victor Anderson's salvation. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That challenges me. I get to give so that men like Victor Anderson can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then God blesses me for that? Well, that's what he said. He said, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. So I'm telling you this morning, blessed is the Christian who learns to sow beside all waters. If you've never given to missions, let me encourage you, jump in. You don't have to jump in at $100 a week. Jump in at $6 a week. Jump in at $5 a week. But get started. Get your feet wet sowing beside all waters. God has promised to bless people who sow beside all waters. Amen. Blessed is the church who sends forth laborers to sow beside all waters. Look at the second part of the verse. He said, not only blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, but he said, blessed are ye that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. What are the ox and the ass? They're beasts of burden. The ox and the ass were the beasts that got in the yoke together. They pulled the implements. Remember the story of Elisha? When Elijah went by, what was he doing? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Plowing. The beast, the ox, and the ass, the beast of burden. They pulled the implements that broke up the soil. They pulled the implements that cultivated the soil. They pulled the implements that spread the seed. He said here, blessed are ye that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Listen, not only are we blessed as individuals, by sowing beside all waters, giving to send the message of Christ. But I'm convinced with all of my heart that this right here and this right here is a key to God's blessing, Faith Baptist Church. Now look at me, folks. It's not easy to say goodbye to families that you love. Heather and Jason were here this past week. I missed them terribly. And you know, part of me says, man, why don't y'all just stay here? I'm not sure we'd ever replace that bass voice in the choir. Huh? And those little kids running around. And I'm going to tell you, this verse was in my Bible reading some days ago. This verse has been on my mind all week. I knew what I was preaching this morning for all week. Blessed are ye that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Do you know that we have, this young man over here, my son Ben, and this young man over here, we got a lot of money tied up in these families right now. We have to help him especially. We're paying for all of Brother Jason's insurance and then helping him with some other things right now. And we've got a lot of money invested in sending these two families to the mission field. We've had money invested in the Oswardy family for years, including helping them with a building. And I'm telling you, that thing, Brother Oswardy has been there, the beast of burden sent forth by this church has been there for these years, breaking up that ground. Folk, listen to me. A group of people who spent 70 years under godless communism. You know what that's called? That's called labor. Come to our service. Come to our Bible study. Going to tell you about Jesus Christ. Having English classes. Going over to the university. That's labor. It's work. And it hasn't resulted in hundreds and thousands of Oriole Russian people coming to Christ. But the breaking of the soil has been going on because the beast of burden has been there taking the gospel seed, breaking up that ground that's been hardened by years of godless communism. I'm telling you, we have no idea how much blessing we've received because that man's been over there. You know, people try to put their finger on the key. Oh, the secret. Somebody talked about secrets this week, one of the messages, I forget. The key. I'm not sure you and I will ever be able to put our finger on the key, the secret to God's blessing, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure we estimate properly how valuable it is that that family gave up what they knew as home and went to a place thousands of miles away to give the gospel message. I'm not sure we estimate properly how much that means to this church. God blesses churches that send forth laborers. He blesses churches that send forth the feet of the ox and the ass. He promised a blessing. I'm going to tell you, you say, what are you hoping the faith promise commitment will be? I don't know. I hope it'll be at least what it was last year, if not a little bit more. You say, well, what do you think was the single most important event that took place during the missions conference? Brother Vineyard being able to get here, or the missionaries' testimonies, or one of their DVDs? You know what may have been the single most important event of the entire missions conference? It was when that sixth grade boy walked forward here Wednesday night and surrendered his life and said, God's called me. Buddy, I put him to the task a little bit before I told you. I said, are you guessing or are you sure? You got to say. He said, I've got it settled. I thank God for that young man. I don't mean to put undue pressure on him. It's going to be a fight for him to stay in the will of God and to fulfill the call of God upon his life. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. For us to sit around and think, oh yeah, another kid gives his life to Christ. We're foolish. It very well could be that that one decision and that yielding to the call of God is the single most important thing to keep God's hand of blessing on Faith Baptist. I will tell you something. You talk to the missionaries, and they will tell you the churches they go in, scheduled and unscheduled meetings, where there seems to be an atmosphere of God doing something, always are strong missionary churches. You think that's an accident? God bless it. This is God's heart. This is God's heart. For God so loved the world. And when a church stays involved in the one thing that is the closest to God's heart, that church puts themselves in a position for God to bless them. Now, I want to say to the rest of you young men and young ladies, if the Spirit of God ever begins to tap on your heart and say, I want you, there are many reasons for you to yield. More than I can talk about this morning. And I'm going to tell you what sometimes you look at. Sometimes you young people have objectives in their sights. And God comes along and God wants something different. And if you're not careful, young men, young ladies, you're going to not yield to God because of the objective that you have created. And moms and dads, we have to be careful. It's not bad to create objectives and goals for your children, but God ought to always have veto power. And they'll always understand that if God ever calls, what I want for you, son, what I want for you, honey, what I've said is the objective for your life. If God ever intervenes, yield. 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 Some of you kids, man, the things you don't understand. I'm not talking about just kids now, sixth graders. I'm talking about 20-year-old, 21-year-old. Some of you guys, lost as a lizard, not unsaved, but you're just fumbling through life. And I'm going to tell you what happens. You get your eye on something that you think you want so bad. You know, Jim Blaylock, pastor's down there in Jupiter, Florida, in West Palm Beach, in Palm Beach County. We're talking, folks, we're talking Jupiter Island, right off the coast from where Brother Blaylock's church is. Jupiter Island, Tiger Woods couldn't even afford. He couldn't get on that island. We're talking about old money. Millions. And that's where Brother Blaylock pastors, in the middle of all that. Jobs, six figures, oh my goodness, and well beyond. Unbelievable. And he likes to golf. Where he golfs, it costs $200 to golf 18 holes. But down there, that's nothing. Huh? Like Brother Jim said, somebody had to do it. Here am I, Lord, send me. Amen, you know. But listen to me, that's where he grew up. That's his home area. He won a pretty well-known professional golfer to Christ. I don't have his name. Emailed him again this week. Jim sent me the name of the golfer. I forgot it. He hasn't emailed yet. I have pictures on the computer back there. Jim Blaylock. This golfer got saved. And then this golfer sets up these foursomes and includes Pastor Blaylock in these foursomes for the express purpose of witnessing to these men. I have a picture on the computer back there of Jim Blaylock in a golf cart with Chuck Daly, the old Detroit Pistons coach. You won how many? What, two or three, what do you call it? Championships, yeah. He golfed with Gary Player. He golfed with Nick Price. He witnesses to these men. He golfed with the drummer of the rock music group Bon Jovi, Tico Torres. He said the guy was actually open to the gospel. He didn't get saved, but he listened to me talk to him. He said the one fellow that he golfed with, I got a picture of him back there with his arm around him. The guy that had absolutely no interest in Christ, no interest in the message of Christ, was Dan Marino. So the guy's a lot, he's just crazy. He just called. No interest whatsoever in Christ. None. He said, man, that's what I want to do. That's what I'd like to do someday. You've got to understand what Jim Blaylock is doing is he's not golfing with these guys because that was his goal. His goal was God. I'm going to tell you what some of you are going to do. You're going to live in pursuit of something that you want so badly that you're not willing to give an ear to God. You're not willing to listen to Him at all. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The thing that's so important to you, God's going to take it away. You're going to take it away. Now, not everybody's called to be a missionary. But I'm going to tell you something. May God always bless this church by honoring us with reaching down and randomly calling young men especially to serve Him in a capacity as a missionary. And may God always help this church to get behind them and say, God bless you. We believe in you. We want to send you. We want to support you. We want to be what you need as a sending church. Blessed are ye that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. I'm telling you, folks, we have no idea. No earthly idea what this means to our church. No earthly idea. I'm convinced. These last few days, what we do today with that commitment card, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Blessed are ye that send forth the feet of the ox. This is God's heart. The closest thing to His heart. How do you know that? Because He sent His Son to die for all that you see. May God help you to do, may God help me to do what His will is for missions giving this year. And if there's ever a time when God stops by the door of your heart and begins to knock, whatever it is that's your objective needs to be set aside and you pursue God's call. We'll be glad you do. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I don't know if I'll preach on missions again tonight. I've got that message in another one, but I knew God wanted me to say that this morning. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Does that mean anything to you? God's blessing? It should. Who's here this morning, Pastor Angel? I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand, please, in testimony to that this morning? Is there some here that say, I'm not sure that I'm saved? If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know where I'd go. Pray for me, Pastor Angel. I'm like that man over there, Victor Anderson. I don't know for sure about heaven. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'll pray for you just a minute. Just a moment, somebody else. Not sure that you're saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as we give the invitation in just a moment, if you raised your hand saying you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you come this morning, let somebody take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I'll pray for you in just a minute. I'll pray that you'll make that choice. Is there somebody here this morning? Pastor Angel, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm saved, but I've not been baptized. I see a small child's hand. Anybody else? Maybe you came for the express purpose of being baptized. God bless you. Somebody else. You've been saved. You know you need to be baptized. Now's the time to come. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Come right now. We'll talk to you about it. Get you ready for baptism. That'd be the right decision to make while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody else? God bless you. Would you come? Heads about, eyes are closed. You're saved, baptized. God's been speaking to you about joining Faith Baptist Church. You've talked to us about it. If that's the decision you know He wants you to make, I would encourage you to come and follow through on that decision today. How about Christian people? Blessed is the Christian that sows beside all waters. Blessed is the church that sends forth laborers. Has God been speaking to your heart? Have you been searching the mind of God about what He'd have you do this year for missions? I wonder if God's been speaking to your heart about going. Answer that call. Answer that call. The Holy Spirit rings that bell. Answer that call. God bless you, sir. Brother Ray. God bless you, sir. Somebody else. Not sure that you're saved. Need to be baptized. Why don't you come this morning? Christian people, you've been praying. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do for missions? Dear Father, bless the invitation today. Thank you for this promise in your book that tells us, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Help us to do what you want us to do in this area, individually and as a church, And Lord, if you're speaking to hearts, I pray that you'll move on people even today. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While these are being talked to, would you come? As the Lord lays it on your heart. Ushers, would you please get prepared with those cards? While we wait this morning. Find the song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. Make that the invitation hymn now. Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. Duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. That's the whole thrust of missions giving. Sending missionaries and giving so that missionaries can take the gospel. Rescue the Perishing. 26-year-old Radixes who live in India who have yet to hear the gospel message. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about. Ushers, you'll be ready to pass the cards in just a moment. We're going to take these commitments.